passing landing. This is the moment the crowd have waited for. Just look at him go.
Congratulations, Catherine, on your wonderful performance in winning the gold medal in the 400 metre event of the Commonwealth Games.
Ian Thorpe really going for it. 340.17. This is absolutely amazing.
Tracy Wickham, a great world record here in Edmonton, and there it is, a world record.
The Diamonds Commonwealth drought has broken.
The Hockey Revolution has a golden uprising.
Adam Ayres, congratulations, and a games record. Adam Ayres has got a hat-trick of gold medals at the Commonwealth Games.
This is something to savour, something to remember for the rest of your life.
Get set, Australia. Welcome to Gold Coast Gold. Here's your host, Dave Colbert.
Hello and welcome to Gold Coast Gold. I'm David Colbert. We've turned the big 3-0 with episode 30 of Gold Coast Gold, which means the games are getting even closer. This week, two team announcements, boxing, and in a Gold Coast Gold special, we announced a 10-member squash team to take on the Commonwealth on the Gold Coast. We'll speak with Games debutante Tamika Saxby about the team, growing up at squash courts, and her hopes for the Games. But before we speak with Tamika, and as we count down with just 16 Fridays to go to the Gold Coast Games, let's take a look at the headlines from another big week in Commonwealth Games news. Australia has named a 10-member squash team to take on the singles, doubles and mixed doubles competition at the Games. Two members return for their third Games, Rachel Gringham and David Palmer, and Sarah Caldwell, daughter of squash legend Vicky, returns for her second Games, whilst Tamika Saxby will make her Games debut. There's more on the squash team and a chat with Tamika coming up soon in this episode of Gold Coast Gold. In boxing, Commonwealth Games Australia has announced a 13-strong boxing team to compete at the Gold Coast 2018 Games. 12 of the 13 boxers will be making their Commonwealth Games debut, while World Championship silver medalist Kay Scott is set to take to the ring for her second Commonwealth Games after competing in Glasgow in 2014. After debuting on the program at the Glasgow Games, an expanded women's boxing program for the Gold Coast will see the team feature 5 female athletes and 8 male athletes. Taylor Robertson from the Gold Coast in Queensland is the youngest member of the team at 19 years of age, while a further 6 athletes are aged 22 or under. 22-year-old Skye Nicholson from Yatala in Queensland will make her Commonwealth Games debut, following in the footsteps of her late brother Jamie, who won bronze at the 1990 Auckland Commonwealth Games. Victorian Jack Bowen will be part of the Gold Coast team, 3 years on after winning gold in Samoa at the 2015 Commonwealth Youth Games. Heavyweight and 2016 Rio Olympian Jason Waitley will also make his Commonwealth Games debut, along with super heavyweight Tosi Vusietu, a former Melbourne Storm NRL squad member. Boxing is a Commonwealth Games core sport and has been on the program since the inaugural 1930 British Empire Games. Australia has won a total of 62 Commonwealth Games medals in boxing, including 15 gold. And at the Glasgow 2014 Games, boxing claimed 2 gold and a silver medal for Australia. In hockey, the Kookaburras have claimed back-to-back men's World League titles after a heart-stopping 2-1 win over Argentina in India. Blake Gover's 58th-minute drag flick clinched the win for Australia, although the Kookaburras needed to withstand a late rally of pressure from the 2016 Rio Olympic gold medalists in Argentina. The result marks a significant milestone for the Kookaburras in their final game of 2017, ahead of a huge year where they'll compete at the 2018 Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast and the 2018 World Cup in India. The triumph also means Australia will regain the world number one ranking. In rugby sevens, the Aussie men's sevens have taken out the Challenge Trophy after missing the quarterfinals in the Cape Town sevens. Australia downed Commonwealth rivals Uganda and Wales before beating Spain in the Challenge Trophy final. New Zealand took out the Cup Trophy, beating Argentina 38-14 in the decider, while South Africa had to settle for third place in their home tournament, beating Canada 19-17 in the third place playoff. Meanwhile, the competing nations for both the men's and women's rugby sevens competitions have been confirmed after all 24 teams accepted formal invites to the games. Rugby sevens in the women's competition will make its debut at the Commonwealth Games, while it will mark the sixth time men's rugby sevens will take place after its debut in KL in Malaysia in 1998. The men's competition features 16 teams from all six regions of the Commonwealth, including the top four ranked nations in the world, South Africa, England, Fiji and New Zealand, along with the host nation Australia, who are ranked sixth. Eight teams will compete in the women's competition, headlined by top-ranked New Zealand, Australia, who are ranked 2, Canada and Fiji. In diving, world champion, Olympic and Commonwealth Games medalist Madison Keeney heads a strong lineup at this week's diving selection trials on the Gold Coast. Australia's most experienced diver, Melissa Wu, has been forced to withdraw from the trials because of a back injury, but is still a chance to be nominated by Diving Australia for selection for her fourth Commonwealth Games. 2014 Glasgow gold medalist Esther Quinn and Dominic Bedgood will be also looking to press their claims for a second Commonwealth Games. In cycling, two of Australia's tandem pairings celebrated riding into the Australian long team for the Games, as six Australian records were broken at the 2018 Paracycling Track Nationals in Sydney. The tandem time trial titles went to South Australia's Brad Henderson and his pilot Thomas Clark. Meanwhile, Jess Gallagher of Victoria and her new pilot Lara Tucker from Queensland took out the women's event. Both pairings were under the qualifying times, earning them selection in the 2018 Commonwealth Games long team. Gallagher is the first Australian to win a medal at the Summer and Winter Paralympic Games and will miss the Paralympics next March to concentrate on the Gold Coast Games. In athletics, fast-improving New South Wales runner Celia Salahern has charged into Commonwealth Games calculations with a surprise win in the Australian Women's 10,000 metre championships. Racing over the distance for only the second time, Salahern won in a B qualifying time of 32 minutes 31.22 seconds, just ahead of marathon runner Jess Trengove and distance stalwart Eloise Wellings. The versatile Salahern has previously been better known as a triathlete, but first showed her running prowess with victory in the Melbourne Marathon in October. Meanwhile, King Island's Stewie McSwain won the men's Zatopek and the Australian title in 28.37.28 in a sprint finish ahead of Patrick Tiernan. The times were both outside the Games qualifying. Also in athletics, running Commonwealth Games champion Sally Pearson was named Female Athlete of the Year at the AIS Sports Performance of the Year Awards for her inspirational World Championship victory in the 100-metre hurdles in London. In swimming, there are a string of strong performances by our swimmers at the Queensland State titles. 17-year-old Brisbane schoolgirl Ariane Titmus, who left Hobart 18 months ago to chase her swimming dreams, has become just the fourth swimmer since the legendary Tracy Wickham to break the Australian 400-metre record in the freestyle. Kate Campbell showed she's on track for the Commonwealth Games, clocking a sizzling 52.69 to win the 100-metre freestyle from Sister Bronte. Two-time world champion James Magnusson outraced a red-hot field in the men's 100-metre freestyle, which included Olympic champion Kyle Chalmers. And three-time world champion Emily Seebohm continued her dominance against an all-star cast in the 100-metre backstroke. Meanwhile, Commonwealth Games Australia has unveiled the Speedo swimwear to be worn by our team in the swimming and diving competitions at the Games. You can check out the speedy-looking togs at the Commonwealth Games Australia website. And that's this week's Commonwealth Games News. Exciting news today with a 10-member team for our squash contingent for the Gold Coast Games being announced. Five men and five women. On the women's side, Donna Urquhart from New South Wales, who will go to her third Games. Rachel Grimm. Sarah Caldwell's a famous name. She's in her second Games. Tamika Saxby from New South Wales and Christine Nunn from Victoria. On the men's side, lots of talent here. Ryan Kaskelly competing in his second Games from New South Wales. Cameron Pilley is off to his second Games, the New South Welshman. David Palmer is from New South Wales. Zach Alexander from Queensland. And Rex Hendrick from Victoria. One of the debutantes is Tamika Saxby, 24 years of age from Coffs Harbour, and she joins us on Gold Coast Gold. Hey, Tamika, you're off to the Commonwealth Games.
Hi, David. Yeah, it's very exciting news. So, can't wait. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, what's, I guess for you, when you hear some of those names that I've just read out, legends of Australian squash and lots of experience in the team with a couple of Donna and David Palmer in particular, who competed in both Delhi and in Glasgow, you must pinch yourself when you think that you're part of that sort of quality lineup.
Absolutely. I mean, this year's team is both a mix of us young ones and the more experienced, and it's definitely an honour to not only be representing Australia but be up there with them. And we're a great bunch, and we all get along really well and push each other to achieve our best. So it'll be great to all be there together as a team.
Take us through the process to make the team, because obviously there's a mix of the singles, the doubles and the mixed doubles for the games. What have you had to do to make the team?
Yeah, we've had to basically partake in the our world tour. So we call it the PSA. So we've all been playing tournaments around the world and trying to perform our best and show some really good results at those. So a few of us have won titles and things like that. We've also had, on the doubles side of things, different world doubles championships and smaller events than that around Australia as well, that have really helped go towards our selections for the games next year.
And so how have they determined yet who's going to be playing in the singles, the doubles and the mix? Do you know that yet?
I believe so. The pairings have been selected for the doubles. So I believe the girls' team will be Donna and Rachel playing together, and Sarah and Christine playing doubles together. And then in the mix, Rachel will be teaming up with Ryan, and Donna and Cameron are together. And then in the men's doubles, I believe it's Palmer and Zach and Cam and Ryan will be together.
Which means you're in the singles. And so we've got a good record in the women's singles at Commonwealth Games. Michelle Martin, a gold medalist. Sarah Fitzgerald, of course, also winning. And Natalie Grinham, three in a row from 98 when Squash Matters debuted, 2002 in Manchester and 2006 in Melbourne. Nicole David has won the last two, and I presume she'll be back, the Malaysian. Will she be the favourite?
Yeah, she's definitely going to be up there. We've got a really strong contingent coming out of England as well, so there'll be a team to watch. Obviously, across the ditch, New Zealand, they've always got some strong players as well, and India. So this year is a really good mixed bunch, and there's definitely some favourites, but you never know really on the day.
So what about the venue? Oxford Studios, I should say. I'll get that right.
Yeah.
It's a soundstage, isn't it? Is that where the venue is? Yeah. So take us through that. Have you been there and had a look? Have you had a chance? Have there been test events there to get a feel for the venue?
No. I've being from Coffs Harbour and living in Brisbane now, I've driven past the Warner Brothers Studios a million times, but I've not actually been inside. No one has. So the court should be ready, they think, about 6 weeks prior to the game. So no one will get a sneak peek until then, I'm afraid. So it sounds really exciting, though. I believe there's about six courts going in. And there's been some really exciting news as well about the legacy after the games, is that we'll be getting a new centre out of the same courts that will be put on the Gold Coast for future generations.
Which is big news, because your parents are, you're born and bred into squash, aren't you?
Yes, definitely am. my whole family has played. My dad has been an incredible coach. And, I don't know any other sporting career that I could have taken. It was always meant to be, I think.
And they own a squash centre?
Yes, they do. So I moved there and we bought the centre when I was about 7 years old. And I grew up at the centre and fell asleep at night with squash balls hitting the wall, and just something that became normal for me. So it definitely helps, but it definitely makes you want to prove that, you know, just because you've lived there, it's not the only reason you're doing so well. So I think I've managed to do that really outside of my comfort zone and push myself really hard, so it's worked out well.
We're talking with Tamika Saxby, who just has today been announced in The squash team, 10-member squash team, 5 men and 5 women who will take on the rest of the Commonwealth and the Gold Coast Games next year. So that's in Coffs Harbour. The squash courts these days, I know, you know, the local ones near me here in Melbourne, they coming down left, right and centre and being replaced by apartments. They're normally in prime real estate wherever they are, and they're struggling to hang on, aren't they?
You know, a couple of decades, they've really, really been struggling. And, you know, in the 70s when it was booming, it was on, you know, every suburb had a squash centre, and it was so successful. And then, you're right, real estate is worth more these days as apartments, and I find a lot of them have been turned into gym facilities as well. So it is common. However, in the last couple of years, we've actually had a few centres being built, which has been fantastic news. That people are starting to take that interest, and that governments of certain states and things are getting behind building those facilities again. Hopefully that's a sign of things to come.
Has it been hard for your parents to hang on to their facility? Do they get the knock on the door from the developer to say, you know, hang on, how about this offer? We'd love to have your the footprint to the land that you're on.
No, I don't think my family would never let that squash centre go. It's who we are, and we love it. So they've done really well, and I think there used to be about 6 centres in Coffs Harbour, and now my parents is actually the last one. So they're doing really, really well, and their junior database is unbelievable. So they've got, you know, about 80-100 juniors just in a small country town weekly. So it's fantastic what they're doing there.
Tamika, it's one thing to grow up around a sport, but it's another thing to rise to the top and to be able to compete for your country. You've captained the team at the World Juniors. You've been at the World Team Championships, etc. What does that mean to you and to your family to be going to, you know, a home Commonwealth Games and, you know, just up the road and on the Gold Coast?
Absolutely. I mean, this is something that you dream of as a kid, and you sit there watching it on TV and you just think, oh, gee, wouldn't that be great? Like, if I could do that one day. And fortunately enough, I've got to pinch myself that I'm actually in a position where I am doing that now. So, it's amazing. And they're all so supportive. And I think that's a big thing as well, is having a supportive network around you to do this, because it's not easy. And there's a roller coaster that comes with it of many ups and downs, and it's been a really long time in progress, so it's great that it's all happening.
Just 24 years of age, how much time do you have to spend overseas to progress in your sport?
Yeah, definitely a few months at a time. You got to try and play the tournaments, and they're sort of our seasons switch on and off. So during the winter, it's here in Australia, there's tournaments, and then during our summer is actually the season overseas, so big tournaments in the Asia region and the US, as well as Europe towards sort of April, May. So, you're definitely doing a lot of travel away from home, and I'm definitely looking to try and put myself in a position to be doing more of that as well. So I had 2 months away at the start of this year in America, and looking towards next year and preparation for the Games, I'll probably do a shorter stint, and then after the Games, I'll be looking at longer periods again of going back overseas.
Unlike many of the sports in the Commonwealth Games, which are, you know, no one's a true amateur in 2017, really. Everyone who's at the elite level is a professional in some way, shape and form. But you do compete for prize money, not quite like the golfers and the tennis players in terms of the cash that's up for grabs. But is it enough to make a living, or do you have to, you know, seriously dip into your own pocket to pursue your dreams?
Squash, unfortunately, I wish we were like tennis and golf, but we just don't have that financial status at the moment. So unfortunately, most of us tend to have part-time jobs, and we've got to dig into those savings. And, you know, that's having my family sort of go through those emotions as well. And they've had to support me quite a lot for a long time. And, it's definitely not easy. And finding sponsors and supporters is quite difficult, and it's definitely something that we're always trying to push for as well.
What do you do as a part-time job? When we called you, I got my times wrong between Melbourne and Queensland, and you were at work, and I need to wait until I finish. What were you doing?
I know. It's a frantic Friday. I actually work for Arnott's, the biscuit company.
Yep.
So I'm out there in the stores building displays and all sorts of things and getting everyone to buy lots of Tim Tam. So that's what I'm doing during the week. And then I've got to fit my training in around that. So, it's been really good, and Arnott's have been so supportive and helpful with me pursuing my Commonwealth Games dream next year. And it's very rare to find an employer that's willing to let you do your sport and travel for it as well.
Tamika, you're going to be very popular on the team. The mention of Tim Tams will have you as being the you'll have to get the delivery address to the Games Village and make sure that there's a constant supply. Look, I find this really interesting because I would have thought you think squash players that you're all full time professionals. Are you the norm in the team that they would have a part time job, or are your other teammates full time professionals?
Most of us tend to have part-time jobs. A couple of us study as well. So, just financially, it's not quite cutting it. I mean, once you're probably getting up towards more the top 20, and I would say, someone like Donna, she's probably definitely full-time professional. So we all probably call ourselves full-time professionals, but in terms of finance, we definitely need something else to help us get through.
Yeah, and you're ranked just outside the top 50 at the moment. I think 56 was the latest ranking.
Yeah,
so
just dropped this month. Yep.
Are you on the rise? What's your goal for 2018?
To finish inside the top 50. So I got to 48 last month, which was my high. So that was good. And now I find I'm sort of at that in-between barrier where I need to probably get those overseas tournaments to kind of break through and start looking towards the top 30, top 20. So I've had a good year, though. I managed to win about 4 titles, I think it was. And then I also came away with an end-of-year win on the Australian Squash Tour, so which was really great. So, it's been a positive year, but it's definitely time to look towards the future and to look towards bigger things next year.
And are you still studying now?
No, I haven't done any study. I just do the part-time work. I think that'd be way too much on my plate. So, it's not easy. We're up at 4:30 in the morning, and usually I'm in bed by 9 o'clock, 9:30. So.
Sound like me, Tamika. That's what happens when you get old and you're a former athlete. You get up early and go to bed early as well. What's the program between now and the games?
Yeah, for me, I'm looking at in February, there's the Australian Closed Championships in Melbourne. So there's also a doubles component to that. And then in the following weeks, there will be a couple of tournaments in America that I'm looking at going over to play. So a few of the bigger World Series events. And then we pretty much go straight into camp on the 27th of March and we get ready and we'll be in the Games Village. So, yeah, it's really not long at all. And pretty much my preparation now is just some really good solid training and play those few peak events to make sure I'm performing well and then see how we go.
And what sort of training involved? Obviously, you're just not on the court all day, every day. There must be physical conditioning and things like that you have to work on. What's the key thing that you'll try and improve between now and the games?
For me, probably at the moment, I've just had a couple of weeks off with an ankle hiccup, but nothing serious. So I'm just getting a little bit of fitness back in. And because I have a little bit of time, I can do some more cross-training sort of stuff and kind of mix it up a little bit. So it is less on-court and more off-court, working on fitness and strength. And we do mix it up every now and then, play some different activities and stuff just to keep us all motivated and excited about what we're doing. So come January, though, it'll be all full on squash and just trying to work on a few things with my coach and see where we're going in terms of gameplay and structure. So it'll all come down to tactics by then.
And what's the format for the games? How many players in the draw, and is it, you know, traditional squash tennis type draw where, you know, here's the draw and first match, if you win you proceed and if you don't you go home?
I believe so. We haven't been told too many more details past that. So as far as I'm aware, I'll be in the singles. I know that singles is the first week of the games, and then the second week of the games will be the doubles event. So yeah, the draws will be announced, I assume, close to the game. So it'll be a wait and see for that one.
And I presume they have seedings. Excuse my ignorance here. I'm learning more about squash as I go. I presume they have seedings so that you're not going to play the, you know, if you're inside the seedings, you've got a protected, you know, first round draw potentially. Yes, and the seeds are spread throughout the draw just as you would expect in any, you know, other major tournament.
Yep, that's right. So I'm not sure how many they'll be seeding. It'll depend on the draw size, but you could definitely say that the first eight are always going to be seeded, and if it's a big enough draw, they'll seed all 16 top seeds as well.
And this is for squash players. Obviously, you know the World Championships and the other major events, the international tours you talked about. But squash, unfortunately, after many attempts, still yet to make the Olympics. So this is like netball. This is the Olympics for the squash players in terms of taking on the best of the Commonwealth in that multi-sport competition.
That's it, exactly right. We were very devastated after missing out on 2020, and I know it's taken squash a little while to kind of heal and move on from that, but I know that I've started seeing some things towards 2024 now, and hopefully that's something that we can all really get behind. And I think it's a sport that definitely deserves to be there. I mean, it's the pinnacle of our sport. It would be the greatest event or greatest achievement that we, a squash player, can do. So I think it deserves to be at the Olympics, and it would just be amazing if it was. And if it is in 2024, I'm hoping that my youth will be on my side and I can be a part of that.
Tamika, it's very exciting. 10 members in the squash team, and this is the 30th episode we've done of Gold Coast Gold, and we had a lawn bowls team announced last week. The triathlon team is in, and as we progress towards the games, with just 16 weeks to go, 16 Fridays to go to the games, that more and more team members will come in, and you'll be surrounded by more and more athletes. We wish you all the very best in the lead up to the games, and can't wait to watch you in action.
Thanks very much, David. Appreciate it.
That's it for this edition of Gold Coast Gold. A reminder, you can subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an edition. You can join us at Commonwealth Games Australia on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram to keep up with all the news regarding the Australian team at the 2018 Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. Until next week, thanks for your company on Gold Coast Gold.